Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to the Rosecast, number one Bachelor recap podcast, hosted by male and racial best friend duo. This could be a long episode. I don't want it to be. I don't think it needs to be. And I don't think it should be long because we should talk about every little line, every little instance in the 4 hours. And I'm certainly not going to recap the Bachelor Nation in the hot seat segments.
No, I don't need that. I didn't watch those.
Well, shout out to AD.
I was in a pinch.
AD's really doing a lot of self-care with this show lately.
Self-care. You got to take care of yourself, folks. You have to.
And your not
mentals.
Watching hot
You got to take care of your mentals.
And your chickens as well. Yeah.
And your chickens. You got to take care of your mentals and your chickens. Okay? And that's what I did. If
Proud
I can cut
you.
40 minutes off of my viewing.
Oh, my gosh. Jealous.
By not watching Rodney talk about something. And I love Rodney.
They cut Rodney off because Cassie went too long. I'll tell you
Listen,
that.
Listen, I love Rodney. I love Cassie. I love all these people. I love all of them. But I'll see him in paradise. I don't need to see him right now. I don't care what they have to say about this.
Did you see the coordinated social media blitz from the big players in Bachelor Nation leading up to Monday and Tuesday?
What was it about?
All of them tweeted like similar things hyping up the Monday episode.
Media blitz.
Even I saw it. Well, because now Twitter, you go on Twitter, you just see a bunch of shit from people you don't follow anymore. You see
what's
topics.
Going on with that? I feel like
know.
That's just
it's a bad
recently.
Platform. The platform has gotten worse every day since
like
I joined it 13
recently.
Years ago. Anyway,
I love Twitter. Say, usually it's stuff I'm like, that is interesting. So
yeah,
I have no problem with what
no,
they're
no,
doing.
Anyway,
but I have noticed that
they all tweeted like suspiciously similar things.
Similar things. So they've got a. Put you know they sent a message to all these people
well
to please
they all
put this
have
out.
They all get screeners so that they can watch the episodes early and have their podcast ready to go. That's one of the benefits of being in with ABC. We used to want that because it saved us time. It would save us time. I've stopped wanting that when it became clear like part of that would be having to like pledge your fealty to the franchise, which is what these people are stuck doing now. Anyway, I don't know where we were before, so should we get
you
into
said
the...
You basically, it's going to be a long episode, and then you said you don't want it to be,
track.
And then we talked about it for
I
10
I promise
minutes.
It won't be.
Okay.
Let's go to Iceland, Monday night. Clayton's in a church listening to a choir sing the Halo theme.
okay.
And then outside, I'm going to fly. Outside him
Listen,
and Jesse.
Listen, I just want to put a disclaimer before we start this. Before we start this disclaimer, I'm going to be laughing at stuff that is probably not funny for the people involved and lots of people that watched it, okay? There's stuff I consider funny that I'm going to laugh at.
This was all pretty
I'm
gonna funny.
I'm going to be laughing. I know the whole thing for me was funny, but I don't think it was that funny to everybody. But a lot of this was funny to me, and I'm going to point out things that probably...
Listen...
It's like one of those trigger warnings. That's
okay,
what this
yeah,
that's
yeah,
all
okay,
I'm
that's
doing
fine.
Right now.
That's fine. I don't mind that.
I'm going to laugh at stuff that...
Me too. Hard.
Yeah, this, I was including you.
If you've ever doubted that this show is pro wrestling, these two episodes this week cemented that. This whole thing was pro wrestling from start to finish. And part of the reason why I am kind of annoyed by some of the recent seasons, I suppose, is because they're making it too obvious now.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on. Anyway. The Halo theme joke, very funny. Thank you.
Very funny. Why did they do this? Why, I don't want to nitpick things.
He's a religious
guy.
I don't know.
He went to a church. They got a whole church choir there. There's like 25 people there to sing just to Clayton.
On their off day.
On just their off day?
Yeah.
He couldn't come to Mass?
It was a very funny scene.
That's one of the funniest. If you just step back and look at it, it's like Clayton and the Bachelor producers showed up and they're like, we need you guys
the number
to
of people
sing
involved is staggering.
The Halo song.
It wasn't really the Halo song.
For Clayton, can you do that for us? He'll be there. Do you want the whole congregation? We have something later today at like 5. Do you want to show up for that? And they're like, no, we need it to be just Clayton.
Just Clayton.
In the audience by himself.
He has such deep regret that we need him to have all of you just focusing on just him.
Yes, he needs all the blessings. He needs to be please put all the blessings. Please. Down on Clayton. He needs the strength.
Raise your hands over Clayton, please. Man's in a tough spot. Might be a long episode. Outside him is...
That might be the most ridiculous scene I've ever seen on the show. It's so and it's funny. Loaded with ridiculous scenes year after year. This might be the most ridiculous.
This was instant. It's
Clayton
a classic
sitting in a church by himself, empty, except for the 25 people singing to him.
This is great.
The Halo song.
All right, so I had literally one line in my notes about something we just spent 3 minutes
on.
So we're in a bad spot too.
I mean, that was just too funny not to.
It was too funny.
It's too funny of a scene.
Outside, Clayton and Jesse talk about how convenient it is that they can share pieces from the show's wardrobe. They just can overlap pea coats, neck coverings,
turtlenecks,
big time turtlenecks.
Clayton wears turtlenecks when he's messed up.
Yes.
When he's messed up bad. Those are his messed up, I messed up, I'm sorry, turtlenecks. That's what those are for.
That's exactly right. Clayton laments the end with Susie. She told me multiple times, quote, I want you to explore these relationships fully. Jesse says, listen, man, you still have to like go through this with Gabby and Rachel. We got scenes to shoot. We got footage
to
get.
This isn't even close to done.
Well, you're not done yet, buddy. And then Clayton outlines his plan for the rose ceremony, which is to recap the intimate details of his relationships with them in a public forum, which even Jesse can't believe how bad of an idea this is, but he's not about to stop it. Anything else from the first 2 minutes of the first episode?
They had matching $1,000 gloves on. I noted that. Matching gloves for the two. No.
All right, let's go to the rose ceremony. In a cell.
Girls show up one at a time. They open the cell door. They walk close the door behind them. Welcome to Hell in the Cell,
I'm telling you. Clayton was like, all right, you ready for what's about to go down up there? Jesse, I'm sorry. You ready to go in? I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever comes next up there. Rachel's biggest fear is that Clayton is falling in love or in love with Gabby or Susie. Bad news. Take that fear and double it, because it's both.
It's everything. It's everything you can't even imagine how bad this is.
Her worst case scenario was not as bad as it actually is.
No, not even close. I'd say not even close.
So Rachel and Gabby are upstairs, standing on their marks, wondering where Susie is. Clayton arrives to the podium. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm shattered into pieces. The person in front of you now is not the person you were last with. He's no longer Bray Wyatt, AB. He's the fiend. He is transformed and gone to the dark side. There's no getting old Clayton back.
Did they do something different with him? Makeup-wise?
Oh,
he just looked different the entire... Like, his hair was a little different.
He's a different guy. Yeah.
Different complexion. It was either the soul was sucked out of him.
That might be
They were doing something different with his makeup this entire show, including after the final rose. He just looked different than he looked all season.
This was as a lighting guy.
I think it was makeup and lighting.
There's three things. Different lighting in this building, unlike any lighting we've seen thus far.
But it was like that in the live stuff too. He was like that. He looked different. I think they did makeup to make him look like sad. Sad makeup. They gave him sad makeup.
Oh, I'm all in on that theory. I love that idea.
I'm very confident in saying that's what happened, because he looks completely different for this entire time. I think they gave him makeup.
And you know he had no idea what was going on either.
No, they just painted it on. He just sits there and gets the makeup on. I think they painted sad makeup on him. Make him look like he's theory. Yeah, that's
just, and his soul was stolen.
I'd like to see
also.
A side by side. And the soul.
His soul was a little smaller.
His soul was gone. But I think they did something. That's all.
I agree. Clayton tells them both what Susie said about, you know, her desire that he not go all the way with anyone else, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Because it became, there was some decent logic here, I thought. He says, hey, that was a deal breaker for her. I don't want it to be a deal breaker for you two. So sure. He announces that he was in love with her. We're going to discuss how this news was delivered a little later. But on paper, that sounds like a good, sound
paper,
thought.
The idea that Susie didn't like that I told multiple people I love him and that I slept with multiple people, that was a deal breaker for Susie, so maybe it is for you two as well. I'm just going to come clean to everybody.
Just in case.
Everyone on the same page. That's sound logic.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
That makes sense to me.
So he announces that he was in love with Susie.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, I was also in love with each of you. I am in love with each of you.
Mm.
And I was intimate with you both. Mm. So it's all out there. Very uncomfortable, this room. And then he says, I see one of them at the end with me. Doesn't know who it is yet. He wouldn't string somebody along, which is at age kind of badly, given the what happened next.
Cold takes or whatever that Twitter.
Yeah, cold takes exposed.
Cold takes exposed, yeah.
Then he opens it up for questions. If you're not watching the show, that's actually what happens.
Here?
He was like, does anyone have any questions? I'd like to open
exactly,
the floor to questions.
That's exactly what he did. I'll now be opening this up to questions. Anybody? Anything. Ask me anything. I'm here for 30 minutes.
Raise your hand on Zoom, if you will. I got 30 minutes. We got a lot of time. I'm not going anywhere.
Just to note, the women are humiliated and mortified at this moment. You can see it on their faces. Yes. Absolutely mortified.
The most uncomfortable
that this is going on.
Situation of all time. One of them. I mean, I spent a lot of time this week going through old clips for something we'll talk
about.
Yeah,
did
about
you
at
see
the
anything
end.
More mortifying than this?
Yeah, listen, man, this is a long. There this is a, yeah, there's a sure. lot of these episodes.
It's a lot of seasons. A lot
there's
of seasons.
A lot of seasons. But yeah, this is an unprecedented
right
situation for sure. So anyway, Rachel goes downstairs. Gabby walks into a scrum of producers. Rachel's crying on the stairs and jaded rim. I hate to say it. Sound editing, making it sound like her cry was bouncing off of every... I'm sure you could hear it, but they amplified it, so they made it seem
later,
like it was like an ambulance
later,
siren.
Later, Jesse and Clayton were talking, and they pumped up the sound of the crying,
God.
So it sounded like you could just...
Like
you
they couldn't hear each
you
other.
Couldn't
over
hear
the
each
crying.
Other because the crying was so much. And they even got like Clayton's like, I hate hearing them cry. And they turned up the cry sound. It was excellent, excellent producing.
That was a hilarious walk.
It was hilarious.
Jesse down the scene or down the stairs. He walks down the stairs. You can hear Rachel crying, and yeah. Jesse's like, "Well, can't believe it went like that, man. Like, who could have seen that reaction coming?
I really thought that was going to work for you.
Oh, jeez." Crazy. What's going on? Can you believe this?
Wouldn't want to be you.
Yeah. Oh, yikes. And then Clayton says he can't go into relationships with any secrets. Trying to continue with both of them. So Gabby returns. And Clayton tells her what happened with Susie. Gabby asks, like, how do you weigh your words and the potential of me going home? I didn't really understand her question. But whatever the question was, the answer was not the best answer. He says, whoever I pick, I love the most.
Mm.
Which... there's a different way to word that. It's not very tactful to say, if I don't pick you, it means I didn't love you as much as the other person. Something you're just going to have to think about for a while. So don't let that weigh on your mind at all. And then Gabby asked why he wouldn't just save his
that
words.
I love
you. The I love yeah. yous. Mm-hmm. And he says he felt it. It's real feelings. Do you think, let's get out of the way now. Do you think that he means it when he says he felt it? I mean, I never got the impression that he didn't have deep feelings for the three of them. Do you know what I'm asking?
Are you just asking if he loves them or if he did in the moment?
In the moment. When he said that to them, when he started letting those fly.
I don't know. I go back and forth on if it's possible to love two people at the same time. I think I lean towards...
three.
Two or three people. Three. Well, once it's two, it could be five or six. It's like,
yeah, that's true.
Okay. If you can love more than one, then you can love more than one. It doesn't matter. I think I lean towards it's possible.
I lean towards...
I think you have to be selfish because you need to not care about...
Yeah, oh yeah.
About those person's feelings. You can't love two people at the same time.
The same.
I don't know.
Equally.
I go back and forth because then if you love someone, usually in the sense, you care about their feelings and you do anything for them. But by telling multiple people you love them, obviously you're going to have to break. You're going to have to hurt multiple
Unless
people.
Unless those people are also aware and on the same page in some
so
polyamorous situation, which this was not.
I think
not.
It's possible. I think it's possible to love more than one person. And I didn't get the feeling in the moment. I think he got swept up.
Oh,
in,
my goodness. My
in the
exact
show,
words that I have
the
written
later. I mean, he was yelling it from the rooftops to two of them.
That's not normal behavior from anyone in public.
No. But I don't think, I didn't, when I saw that in the moment, I wasn't like, Clayton's lying to them. I think he really
did
feel strong feelings. Maybe he doesn't know exactly what it means to love someone, but I didn't take it as him like putting
malicious.
On a show. Or, yeah, no, I didn't think he's malicious.
I didn't
know. I think he did feel those feelings. Now, he didn't think about their feelings ever, really.
Nope.
Which is the big problem. But
that
I don't think
the big problem.
But I don't think I think that his feelings were real. I just don't think he thought about anything else.
I know what you're saying. I think he thought he loved them all.
Yes.
That's how I'll try to put it. And then I also, my personal opinion is that he didn't love any of them.
That could be true.
In reality.
Yeah, I can
believe
that.
He thought he did.
Yeah.
He didn't. Because if he did, he wouldn't have gone about this the way. Now, everything that we talk about with this show comes with the unsaid asterisk that this isn't, like, this
it's
only
normal.
Occurs on this show. These yeah. situations only take place on this show. In real
yes.
life, they just don't occur. Anyway, Gabby also had a line to the camera to say love the most. Wrong fucking answer. I like swearing Gabby. I like that a lot.
Swearing Gabby, yeah. I like swearing Gabby.
And then she says something, you can't measure love. And, like, I'm not interested in being competing for love, I suppose.
Because Clayton basically said he loves all of them, and then at the end he's going to measure the love, whoever. Yeah. It's like three... you know, glasses, whoever has the most love water in there, he's going to look
yeah,
at them.
Yeah, it's exactly like Double Dare.
Yeah, whoever has the most water or slime or whatever they were doing in Double Dare yeah. at the end is the winner.
Double Dare,
yeah. Yeah, it was Double Dare. I think they like had sponges and they'd have to wring out the water into the...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then whoever had the most water at the end, it was good. That was good.
Double Dare
that's
was
what this
show.
Is. He's wringing out love juice into big buckets. Each juice is a different color.
Tall cylinder. Yep.
And then whichever juice.
He might have mixed the juices too.
Whichever,
there might be some...
whichever love juice is the highest. Everyone's got to be following what we. This is explained perfectly.
I don't think the 23-year-olds are really yeah. into this. Anyway, well said. I guess we'll give it. She mentioned something about not being in a competition for love, which you go like, you know, that's
yeah.
clap, but also at the same time, like.
That's kind of what this
kind of
show,
by definition.
Yeah, there were a couple moments like that where I was just like, okay, well, huh.
I'm with you, but you know,
I hear what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying.
Everything you've said up to this point, I've agreed with. But when you say you're not in the business of competing for love, that's actually the exact business you're in right now.
And it's always very interesting when.
It's like me and you saying we're not in the podcast business. It's like you're doing a podcast right now.
We're not
now.
In the business of giving opinions on TV shows.
Yeah, it's like that's actually what you're doing right now. It's you're in a love business, competition business. That's what you're in.
It's always interesting when future leads have these moments that are
too.
Like
that too.
Sympathetic. They're totally sympathetic. You feel sympathy for them in these moments,
yeah.
but you know that they're going to be in a position now where they're going to have to do like Gabby's going to have to do what she didn't like
it's
that Clayton did.
She's not. Yeah.
She will definitely have more tact about it, but
of
she's going to have to measure her love.
You're measuring love.
Two people or
you're
more.
You're going to have to measure your love.
You're going to have to. Anyway, Rachel with Clayton. She feels like their date this week wasn't special. Now that she knows, he was throwing it around. I was surprised and appalled that they didn't have real tissues on set. She was using a Burger King napkin.
Is that true?
To wipe her nose. Go back. Saw. It was a brown, rough napkin. I decided here that Rachel was absolutely in love with Clayton.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about measuring love here, Rim?
Rachel, number
I'll
one.
I'll measure it.
Yeah, I'll measure their love for her him. Love, Rachel was number one.
Her love is higher than everyone else's.
I think so, too. Clayton tries to save it a little bit. He says, this isn't over, unless you feel it needs to be. She knows that he loves her. She's scared. And he says, let's take it day by day. They hug.
Seems like he might get out of this. I don't know.
He might have salvaged it with Rachel.
The man might have weaseled his way out of this.
So he returns to the Rose podium. Look on his face like, I might have erred along the way here. He apologizes for the debacle. Says, you can decline these if you want. Rachel accepts. Gabby does not accept. This was an interesting reaction from Rachel, too. I'm not sure what to make of it. I mean, I'm sure it was more than one thing. Like, she was obviously surprised it occurred. Maybe she was excited to be the last person standing, a little piece of her, because she does actually
love
him.
Maybe a little bit. I think there were a lot of emotions running through her in that moment.
And then you feel weird because you won by default, too.
That's the biggest one, I would say, is, like, this isn't how... If she would have... I feel like if she knew Gabby was going to say no, she would have said no to the rose.
Maybe. You want to be because you want the person to choose you, not, oh, I'll settle for you.
You don't want the second person to say no. That's a devastating situation.
Gabby downstairs had some good lines. Gabby was very clear-eyed in every confrontation, I guess I'll say, with Clayton. She thought what they had was special, the way he told her it wasn't, is what she's realizing now. She even asked him, did you regard, you know, what it would feel like doing this way? And then Clayton gives the one day at a time speech.
There was a good Gabby speech or a couple lines that I wrote that was a bachelorette line. She said, I just want to be accepted and loved. Right now I feel measured and I've never felt that way before. Yeah. That's a bachelorette line.
She had a lot of... It didn't dawn on me that that's what was happening until later with Gabby.
I don't know that
she built the resume the last couple of days. Yeah. No. I don't mean to say
she was going for it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't mean that at all.
That was just a line that you could put on the video.
The montage.
The
resume is being built.
Resume is building
during these scenes.
Yeah.
Upstairs, Rachel is on the floor waiting, and Gabby returns.
Were you surprised she returned?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I was too. I was surprised.
I think they show their...
She asked him to... You want to walk me out?
Yeah, she did.
Let me get the hell out of here. And then she came back. He talked to her. He weaseled his way out of another one.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I think they show... Let's say they both almost love Clayton or whatever you want to put it. They both had very strong feelings for Clayton. I think they show it a little differently because Gabby didn't seem like crestfallen the way that Rachel did. You know what
Agreed.
I mean?
I think they just show their emotions a little differently, probably.
So she shows up. She apologizes to Rachel for making her way a thoughtful friend to the end, that Gabby.
Thoughtful.
And then they make Clayton do the rose bit again. Rules are rules. You have to... It's
Gabby?
Not official until you go through this.
Gabby?
Ceremony.
He accepts the rose. And she says yes.
He's so broken up and embarrassed that he can't even find him within himself to do a cheers. Thankfully, Gabby salvages the toast. That was a joke, by the way. He says, I can't even do a cheers, man. What did you think of this whole scene? As absurd as it was to do it
this
way.
The rose ceremony?
All of it. This whole scene in this building. Him telling them this way.
Oh. Well, we asked for someone as dumb as Peter, Rim, and makes as bad as decisions as Peter. Him showing up and telling them this to start the news that he had to tell them together in a group setting, group presentation, was one of the dumbest things you could possibly
call.
Do.
No doubt.
Not pulling them aside separately, which turns out later in the episode we found out that's just kind of his thing. Just let me just rip this Band-Aid off. I'm not having two bad conversations. I'm just going to have one. And I don't care how much worse this makes the conversation by doing it once.
He jam-packed a season's worth of bad decisions into two or three episodes.
He really did. He jam-packed them in. And he provided. These were bad decisions. Undeniably bad decision to do this like this.
next segment with Michelle, Claire, and Nick. We can skip it, though. Nick had one point that I thought made sense at the time. He said Clayton told Susie that he loved her the most, information he did not disclose to Rachel and Gabby. Now, at the time watching this, I thought he didn't mention that to them because it was no longer true in that moment. His feelings for Susie changed after the discussion. So I felt that's why he didn't feel the obligation to disclose what he said to Susie.
This comes
that.
Up later with Gabby. She brings up the same point. Let's talk about that then.
Well, this is what I thought, and it turned out to be wrong.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
I thought Clayton standing there talking to Gabby and Rachel was not a person who loved Susie the most.
Susie, yeah.
I thought if Susie came up the stairs, I don't think he would have offered her a rose. That's what I thought at the time.
Yeah, I agree with how it ended. Yeah.
Clayton's family. His brother's there along with Mitch Trubisky. And he told himself he wouldn't allow himself to fall in love with more than one woman. They all say that. He fell in love with three. Dad knows where this is going. He's like, oh, shit. Like, I thought you were coming here with good news. Now we got a mess to untangle. This is bad. And then Clayton gives the same recounting that he did at the rose ceremony. Lays it all out there. Dad says, hey, they don't want to be first, second, or third. They don't want to be second or third. They want to be first. Mom looks at him like he's got five heads. Like, this whole shit is alien to her. And then Gabby arrives, unless you have something to get off there.
No, I don't think so. I found it funny that all of them before he came in were like, just looking forward to seeing old Clayton. And then he comes in and has the worst possible news. Really fucked up, guys.
Gabby arrives, gives a nice little speech. Clayton's mom starts crying immediately about the possibility of her being the one. When her and his mom talk, very glowing praise for Clayton. Full package. It's almost as if the previous night didn't really occur. And then Dad and Gabby...
One more thing, when Clayton and Gabby met outside,
yes,
I was surprised by the kiss there.
The kiss and the jovial attitude.
Kiss was very surprising to me.
Yeah.
Okay. That was this surprising. She went in for the kiss, in fact. It was 70-30. Of course, he can't go in for a kiss there, to be fair.
Well, then you're running the risk of getting a pull away. Like, no, dude, we're in a fight, actually.
We're in a big fight.
Do you remember how we ended this situation?
I can't believe I'm here, in fact. Yeah. That's what I thought the situation was, but when she kissed him, I'm like, okay, we're good.
Yeah. Why do you think she came back?
Business as usual.
Why do you think she came back? Because she had a lot of very salient points about how she was done, basically, prior to this.
I think both her and Rachel, given if you give people time to think in the moment, it's like, of course I'm done. But then if you take a step back, it's like, well, I'm on this TV show. I think she thought he was going to be hooking up with multiple people.
Yeah, she didn't seem
surprised
by that.
Maybe not saying I love you.
Yeah.
But I think when she stepped back, it was like, yeah, that's part of what I signed up for. So I still have feelings for him. I'm going to see where this goes. That's where I think
she was
coming from. And that's why I think she kissed him, because I think she was ready to push all that to the side. Because I think most people think that that's going to happen. Like, he's going to probably have really strong feelings for multiple people when I'm going on this show. So when they took a step back, I think...
They thought I can see how he thinks he's in love with three people. It's insane, but I can see how this occurred.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm Gabby now. I still stand by how much I hate the way he delivered this news to us.
Delivery was bad.
But I get how it occurred.
Exactly. Still strange kiss. Surprised by that.
Dad had a good line about, he's like, I don't know how you could have that discussion and then show up to meet somebody's parents the next day, which of course is insane, but you know, they have a schedule to keep here for filming.
You got
to
do it.
Normally parents in this scene want to know why people, they're judging the contestants. They're like, why are you good enough for my child? Why do you love my child? And then I will come away with an opinion about who I think is the better fit for my child. Their presence here is kind of proof that they know what happened. So the fact that they're here is like, all right, well, you love this person. You, for better or worse, you are in love with my child. So I don't need to test you for that information now.
Well, it was also kind of like, our son fucked up. So
yeah,
what am I going to do? Grill you?
Exactly.
The fact that you're here is incredible. I can't believe you're here. I wouldn't be here. If someone did to me what my son did to you, I wouldn't be here. So I'm just hoping that you stay.
One of you. Really? I'm not going to really show even one of you preference. Stays. Just please,
yeah,
one of you.
I don't care.
Anything on outside? They kiss again? She seems confident that she made the right decision.
Yeah, it says I'm here for the reason. I don't want to miss out on this. She trusts us, and she does have deep, deep feelings. And she says, I really do love you.
Rachel arrives. They also kiss.
Oh, one more thing. Gabby says she's ready now more than ever to be with him. More than ever.
Why?
After meeting the family, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah. I would be a little hesitant still, but you're in the moment. It's a crazy situation to be in. Rachel arrives. They kiss. I'd have thought here they age pretty poorly. Clayton bungled all this, like a lot of the delivery. He bungled this whole situation. But at least now they know what it is. There's no secrets. There's no silos. They know what's happening fully.
Clayton achieved what he wanted to the whole time with that rose ceremony. He wanted everyone to be on the same page and him not have anything hidden from anybody, which he did have, which he achieved.
Totally. It was a crazy made-for-TV thing, but now we're there. Everyone is on the same page.
Yeah.
Notable Airbnb plug. I thought the first one slipped out. This second one was a little more...
I noticed those Airbnb plugs.
Egregious.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional questions for Rachel, like what about the limo entrance? Nothing special to start.
Mm-mm.
Anything on Rachel and his mom? The what could have been rationale?
She does talk about how it was a heartbreak, but she's still in love with Clayton. Rachel also mentions how it is hard for her to understand how he loves three people. And his mom's like, yeah, I don't get it.
You're telling me,
I don't know
lady.
What's going on. I don't know what's going on. This is crazy. This was just all an interesting situation. Like the parents and family was put in a really awkward situation. They're basically in the middle of a fight. A fresh fight that is not
ongoing.
It has not been resolved.
Really.
It has no conclusion yet. And then they're meeting them, and they know about the fight. The family knows about the fight. Everyone knows everyone. Everyone knows everything. And
probably
the family has to act. This is just a very strange situation for everyone involved.
It was also the first time I can remember people talking with the lead's parents about the idea of the other contestants remaining.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rachel wants it to work, so they kiss outside. She knows he's in love with Gabby, but she's accepted that and still wants it to be her with him in the end.
Clayton also mentions he's confused to his dad, and he says he couldn't make up his mind at all if he had to right now. Still has no idea. He loves two people, or what we thought was two people.
Is this when he revealed that my heart is here for now, but my heart's beyond the walls, and it's with Susie?
Yeah.
His family is flabbergasted by this. They're being yanked and pulled and twisted and turned in every direction.
I mean, I would have stormed out if I was at that.
I don't have time for this.
This
we
is
wasted
bullshit,
2 days
Clayton.
Talking to these
Why
people.
Why did we meet these two? He says, my whole life flipped upside down when Susie left. I realized even after the two women meeting my family, I'm still thinking about Susie. Incredible.
This is where I started to get kind of annoyed. I was like, all right, I don't even care how this ends anymore. Like, I don't care if he ends up with anybody. I don't care. Like, just like figured. I don't know. I was just annoyed by the Willy Wony. Come on, get this over with. Dragging this out. We wasted this.
Not me.
Like,
this
whole episode was dramatic. This whole episode was dramatic and entertaining. But yes. I was also like, all right, so we're fucking back where we started at square
one.
What did
we do?
Now we're going to have to run it back the next night. He's going to have to do the same thing. Anyway, just at that moment, Jesse enters in cashmere. And he says, what now, Clayton? He says, I want Susie. Well, Clayton, Susie is still in Iceland.
Wow.
And tomorrow we're going to find out how this whole thing ends because the cruise contract runs out tomorrow. We have to finish this one way or another. There's no negotiation.
I don't care what happens, but we got to wrap this up.
We got to wrap this shit up.
I got to do GMA on Monday.
I wrote here, this man wouldn't dare go back to Susie, would he?
Well, I knew he would go back, and I also knew she wouldn't take him back. I mean, we'll get to
that
later.
They had great cuts to the crowd throughout the episode, too. At this moment, the crowd was laughing. It was hilarious that he made this, he said this about Susie, that he's going to go back.
I think there was another segment with former contestants I didn't pay a lot of attention.
Yeah, there was. This was Rodney and someone, I think. Or maybe that's right. The next night.
Rodney, Cassie, and maybe Michelle. Yeah. It all blends together. Jesse teases a new bachelorette. He says, you think you know who it is, but you actually don't. Wow. And that's that. Anything else on this episode?
Oh, Clayton's family is, when he tells them that, Clayton's family is like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? She left you. She left you.
Well, that's interesting, because she didn't. He basically sent her home.
Well, that's what he was trying to explain to them. He's like, no, she didn't leave me. I left her. And they're like, what are you talking about, Clayton? You just told us the opposite. Now you're saying that it's a possibility that she can be with you. They were out on this idea.
Yeah, it's a waste of their time. This is
those two women love you. They were saying Susie does not love you. She left. And Clayton's like, no, she didn't leave. Technically, I was the one who ruined it. And they're like, well, if she didn't leave, then what do you do? Why did you do that then? And then they're laughing at him. Everyone's laughing at Clayton and his decision making.
Let's take a quick break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of the events of her life, it always brings me joy. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth will email your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. There's a wide variety to choose from. Some of my favorites are, do you have any keepsakes or heirlooms from your grandparents? And what's the furthest you've ever traveled? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Then you'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's responses as they're submitted over the course of the year. Take it from me, you'll love their retelling of the stories you already know, and you'll be surprised by stories you've never heard before. After 12 months of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for decades to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. Our family keeps these gorgeous Storyworth books always within reach in the living room. They're great to read through whenever we're together, and I know they'll be passed down through the generations. Believe me, I'm not the only one who loves Storyworth. There are more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of family stories preserved since the company was founded more than 10 years ago. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/rosecast. That's storyworth.com/rosecast to save $10 on your first purchase. Part 2, Tuesday night.
This wasn't going by without Neil Lane getting a little FaceTime in front of the camera.
Neil, not now, buddy.
Hey, there might be something for him to do here.
Now's not the time, Neil. That's what I thought when I saw that. Not now. We don't need you here. We do not need you here right now, Neil.
They need him. Just in case.
Just in case. Nah, get out of here, Neil.
Jesse gives Susie the update, and Susie heads to the Airbnb. Dad doesn't look like he slept much last night. Tony is his name, and he thinks it's slim to none.
Is that Tony?
Yeah, I think that's...
I think Tony is Rachel's dad's name.
Tony's Rachel's dad. Sorry.
I don't know this guy's name.
Yeah, I didn't get Clayton.
He was good, though. I liked him. I liked everybody. The mom and dad were great. Thought the brothers added a little something at times.
Yeah. Dad thinks it's slim to none she'll show up. And right at that moment, she walks through the door. And as soon as she enters, they go back out. They hug, and then they go back outside because, you know.
This was a go. Clayton, hey, buddy. This is when you need to go meet her outside.
Susie and Clayton outside. She lays it all out. She had a good line about the stray dog in your house, and you're shooing me out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say they smoothed it over without coming to a full resolution in the end.
Yeah. Clayton apologizes to her, which he's doing a lot of. Sorry I made you feel that way. I didn't mean the things I said. He explains his actions of last episode because he saw himself losing her, and he got scared and the fear overcame him. That's why he acted like a jackass. If you walk out, I will lose everything, he says. And then he pleads with her to stay. You saw me being your person. I know we have something special and a love that can last a lifetime. Don't throw it away because of what happened last episode. And then he asks for a second chance. Susie says, I can't make that decision right now. I just met your family. That was really weird. Let me hop back in the Tahoe. Head back. I'll see you in a couple days. I need days.
We haven't worked through all the details of the contract yet. I'm not sure if I should say yes or no to this. We'll talk about that at the end. But she says she appreciates it. She feels that he was genuine and he was sincere in his apology. So she leaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is still in the air with Susie. He needs to break it off with Gabby and Rachel. They were sad about what happened a couple days ago. At this point, I think they're going to be furious.
Obviously. I mean, this is one of the biggest missteps, this whole thing. The meeting the parents for Gabby and Rachel, having them meet the parents is one of the biggest mistakes Alita's ever made.
I would say trying so hard, clamoring to get them back.
Exactly.
That's what had to happen before they met the parents, but... If he did know in the back of his mind, and you don't know what's going through, their heads are all muddled, I'm sure, but if he knew deep down that he wanted to be with Susie more, to try so hard to bring them back and convince them that it's worth another shot is the biggest misstep I think Alid has ever
made. It just, in terms of what he now has to have, going into this conversation, this breakup, I can't even think of a worse situation to put yourself in.
Yeah.
That is a horrible conversation to have to walk into, that he's walking into, that he's created. Like, you already had the breakup that was really bad in front of both of them. Now you have to do it again because you still hadn't come to your senses on where your head was at in terms of love. I don't think he did this for the show or something that,
no,
you know, because he's making life harder for himself, but... He needed to take a step back and figure it out before he talked them into meeting his family, because he clearly had not done that.
You almost wonder if one factor contributing to his desperation to get them back the first time, well, the only time, was my family's here. They came all the way here. We got to have somebody, I need to have them meet somebody, and maybe something will click with me, and I'll... want to end up with one of them. Because if he breaks up with them at the rose ceremony, then he's left with zero people.
There's no show. But he could have went to Susie first.
I think he thought she was gone. Maybe.
I don't know. It's too messy for clean comprehension.
I can't. I was gonna say it's incomprehensible how what happened here. I just
Clayton writing in his journal under the covers. So he's going to break up with Gabby and Rachel. Yes. I felt at this point it was a guarantee Susie doesn't decide to give it another go here. He feels guilty because 2 days ago
so
he
you
told
thought he's
Gabby,
gonna end up with no one.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was certain of it. There's just no scenario I felt that Gabby would want to continue with him. So he feels guilty, obviously, because 2 days ago he told them, I think one or either of you could be maybe my wife. Now that's changed.
And he presented it like Susie was not even like
out of the question.
That's over.
Yeah.
It's you two, one of you two, or zero, or potentially neither if you both decide.
Those were the options.
But
one,
Susie
you,
was not an option.
Nobody. Susie was not an option.
Susie's not an option here.
No.
That is,
so this is going to be
bad. If Susie
bad.
Was still an option in his head, there's no chance either of them had stayed, by the way.
Well, maybe Rachel would have.
Maybe
but
Rachel.
Yeah, Gabby definitely
would like,
have.
I still have feelings for Susie, too. He presented it like that ship had sailed.
Yeah.
Dead. Closed. That chapter is closed for him.
Yeah. I'm trying to play that out, but I almost don't want to because I'm having a hard enough time as it is trying to keep track of what everything that's going
on. Had he told them, yeah.
Had he told them that
especially
Susie was still
Gabby.
A possibility.
No way.
Yeah, I think they probably both would have said no.
Yeah.
So Clayton arrives to the room. They're in the same room. This is bad. No pleasantries.
I think this seemed like it was Rachel's room.
I don't know whose room it was. What made
you
think that?
Well, because Gabby went into a room later. Rachel stayed.
Oh, okay.
I think this was just Rachel's room.
Maybe. There's no pleasantry. The last time they were with each other, they met the parents. They were both
everything
like,
was smoothed
hopeful
over.
For the future.
Yeah.
Everything was, it was a new day. It was a fresh start.
Fresh start.
They both accepted the fact that one of them would be moving forward with Clayton long term, committed.
One of those two, Rachel or Gabby. Only those two. Me or you.
Yeah.
Me, if I'm Rachel, you, Gabby, could win. And I'm okay with that. I know he loves you, but it might be me too.
I'm still going to be
those are the two options. Yeah.
But at least there's some comfort knowing that it's you and.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he lays it all out there. He says,
hey.
You're never going to believe this.
This is definitely a whoops. Well, you'll never believe this. You'll never believe what happened.
This was one long Curb Your Enthusiasm. He says, listen, it's not possible for me to be in love with three women. Like I said, I was. My heart's with Susie.
Well, I unfortunately can't give you myself any longer. My heart is no longer here. It's with Susie.
Not what they're expecting
definitive.
To hear. Yeah. 2 days later, everything changed.
This is a day later for one of them, I think, or both.
Maybe
they might have done it on the same 12 day.
12 hours
I don't
later.
Know.
Well, yeah. That's possible. That would really be something.
I think it was a day later for Rachel or one of them. I don't know.
Hilarious reaction from Gabby. She goes, all right, well, thanks. Listen, I know it was tough,
get this,
but, you know, I'm out.
Yeah, you no, know, no.
Don't need
I'm
to
out.
Worry about me. Don't need to worry about me.
She okay. absolutely dips. I'm out. I'm done with the show.
The scene with Gabby in the other room was the moment I felt Gabby became Bachelorette, if you want to call it that. This was an all-time clear-headed dressing down, especially since she just heard this news and presumably had not planned for this for what
great.
To say at all. So it's clear, concise, on message. It reminded me of something Jim Lampley once said about Roy Jones Jr. This one of the great extemporaneous speakers of all time. And that was Gabby here. So I felt like Gabby,
she nailed
this
it.
Was her Bachelorette moment
park.
To me.
Yeah, it really was.
And a funny ending, too. It was the full Gabby.
That's hilarious.
Because at the end, he goes, like, can I walk you out? And she goes,
fuck
no.
No.
Which is just
why don't you
perfect.
Get the fuck out? First of all, you're in my room. Why don't you beat
can
it?
I walk you out?
Yeah. You walk me out. No, you cannot walk me out.
It was funny. Anything else on the Gabby? Anything else in that scene?
In the middle of their conversation, Clayton again tells her he loves her. Did you catch
that?
He should
back off from
he needs
that
to stop. Bro,
I know the seal has been broken, but take it easy.
You need to stop telling anybody. Just stop telling. I don't care. Don't tell Susie anymore. Don't tell anybody here that you love
Take
them.
Take a break.
Take
You're
a
suspended.
Moment. You don't need, especially Gabby and Rachel do not need to hear that you love them still. And then Rachel or Gabby says there's a difference between falling in love and in love. And you told all of us you love us, which was an interesting concept to me. I think she was saying there, it's okay. I expected you to fall in, like be falling in love with multiple people. I did not expect you to outright say I love you to multiple people. Mm-hmm. That's just not something I expected. And I don't think it's possible to be in love with multiple people.
I have a thought on the use of the L word on this show.
Uh-huh.
We started with Ben Higgins' season when he said it to two people. And since then, it has been thrown about at a rapid pace.
Mm-hmm.
It is a plot device on the show. It's like a step on the ladder in the storyline. So given what has happened here, they sell fake love, the show, and exploit the real heartbreak that comes inevitably at the end, especially when you say words like this. So I think the ban on the L word needs to come back. And maybe it will just naturally because people see what occurred here, but it never ends well when you say it to more than one person. It needs to cut out because it's just too damaging, the use. It's a net negative, the L word on the show, my opinion.
Yeah.
But what are you thinking? The drama creates is
I
worth
feel
it?
Like those words still hold the same weight with the people on the show, like the contestants.
That's where the damage comes from.
It's damaging, but it's great TV. That's why the feelings are like that. That's why we're getting these moments, is because the love is real. If the love, that's how you get them to stay around for the parents. Otherwise, they just dip, and we wouldn't have anybody. It'd just be three. It'd be Clayton and zero people remaining.
So you are pro at least two I love
yous. I am pro drama.
I am too, but to what end?
There's no end.
Okay.
You ask me, like, I'll take the drama at any cost. I don't care.
I like that. All right. I lean that direction too. But I just think
think they've gone too far. I agree.
Yeah, that's
it. Can't be every season everyone loves multiple people. Like, you can't, the next season, I can't have Gabby telling two or three people I love you, because we've seen that. It needs to still hold. Like, when people say I love you, it's got to mean something. So that means you got to take a little break.
I hope so. I just think there's an element of, oh, Ben said it to two people. A lot of things have happened since then. It's getting thrown around. This seemed Clayton's in love with three women seemed like a stunt from the show to like push a new height. We've never done this before. How will this end?
Yeah.
So it doesn't, I don't know. It was never, he never really did.
I don't know. I don't know what it, yeah, I think he thought he did. I think he might have thought he did. I don't know.
Okay, let's move on. After that scene in the studio, Gabby comes out. Her grandpa's there. Not a ghost. Grandpa in the flesh. She said she was in love with Clayton. Doesn't regret anything.
Wearing black. Remember what I said last week? I noted this. Wearing black, she got a huge pop.
But that's for Women Tell All, I thought.
I'm not sure if it's for everything. I think it's for everything.
Okay.
I don't think that was just Women Tell All. Because a lot of times the Women Tell All, I don't think they're there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's just black. You wear black at the reunion stuff, there's a good chance you're going to be Bachelorette.
She loved the guy she knew, but looking back, she didn't know everything. Any other?
Okay. No. Nope.
Clayton comes out. They have a discussion. He apologizes. She doesn't think he was malicious. She mentioned that, we saw Clayton. We saw that you said you love Susie the most. So your words at the rose ceremony about leaving with the person you love the most.
Yeah.
Really, I perceive them differently now. And then big line, speaking of the L word, about when you say you love someone, you assume the responsibility to protect them, to care for them, etc.
Not hurt them.
Not hurt them.
And you didn't do any of those things.
Anything else here, AB?
They cut to Gabby's grandpa, and he's like, God damn, my granddaughter just killed that. That was a good-ass line a couple times.
Back with Rachel in Iceland. She has a story about how when she knew she was falling in love, that her mom said she knew she was falling in love. And the yelling from the rooftop, she felt so lucky to feel the kind of love that would cause someone to do that.
And then even at the rose ceremony, she was the only one who chose to stay. So Rachel has a big resume of proving it to Clayton that she loves him. What did you make of the end of this when he walked her out and she got in the car and she didn't seem to want to go?
She couldn't believe, even when he walked her downstairs, that she was actually getting put into the car. Like, this is you're being serious right now, Clayton. You're going to stick me in that car. This is real life. And Clayton was, at this point, he was set. Like, there was nothing changing his mind at this point. He was Susie or nothing.
This was when they were outside, and it was clear, you know, Rachel has been enamored with him this whole time.
Rachel was really devastated.
No question about it. She was legitimately devastated. Gabby was more like,
this is bullshit.
It was more like, I've no doubt she was heartbroken, but she was also like annoyed. She was like, Jesus, dude, like,
I can't believe
on.
You did this.
Use your head. What are you thinking more? And Rachel was like, I love you so much. How can you do this? How can you send me home? Mm-hmm. So it was a little different the way they departed. But during the scene, I thought, listen, Clayton was put in some bad positions along the way.
Sure.
With the hope for devastating outcomes. I think he exacerbated.
He didn't help his cause.
He didn't help his cause at any point.
He didn't have the foresight to see anything.
No.
To be like, hey, I don't think I want to do this.
This might end
because this might happen tomorrow. It was always just like, yeah, let's just do this.
He was a little too in the moment.
Yeah, he's too in the moment, and he just didn't think things through enough.
But for whatever reason, for this scene, I thought this is it's a hard position to be in. It's a delicate job. And he was not delicate or cut out for the role. And there's a couple people in the mailbag who have some theories as to why. Mm. But anything else about the Rachel breakup?
She noted he didn't even shed a tear. He didn't even cry. He didn't fight at all. That's what she kept going back to, too, is you're not fighting for this relationship. And she comes to the conclusion, she's talking it through kind of to herself here. He was never in love with me.
Yeah.
And then she goes into bachelorette mode.
Oh, what happened
in the car? I'm so heartbroken, but at least I have an answer. And now I don't have to just cry myself to sleep every night and wonder what's going to happen. Rachel's going through it, but she's still, that is a bachelorette.
She's got one eye on
that. That is a bachelorette line. And I'm here for it.
You know what was a bachelorette moment for me is when she put her seatbelt on.
I noted that as well. Heartbreak is one thing.
Put my seatbelt on.
Clicking her ticket, that doesn't change. I don't care what the scenario.
No.
Click it. I also noted that.
Rachel in studio was ready to give Clayton a piece of her mind. And he comes out. He apologizes. He's done a lot of apologizing. They seem sincere to me. Maybe I'm just a naive guy. He has never struck me as like an evil, malicious person. I think he's more on the spectrum of like kind of a dummy.
Agreed. I just don't know why someone would choose to do what he did intentionally.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. He's not I don't think he did any of this on purpose. You wouldn't choose to be hated by everybody because of your decisions. Not. You wouldn't choose to have to go break up with them after you kind of force them into meeting your family. You wouldn't choose to do that. I think I'm with you. I think he's just kind of a dummy. He doesn't think things through.
He went along.
He makes terrible decisions. He's on the Mount Rushmore of terrible decision makers, along with Peter.
And two weeks ago, he was.
I don't know who else. Juan Pablo.
Yeah. He apologizes. She doesn't believe him. She doesn't think he was in love with her at all. I believe that to be true. It was, again, this whole... All the studio segments are pro wrestling. She was basically like, you're awful. I don't love you, and I don't believe anything you say.
Huge
let's
applause.
Go to Rachel's parents. Like, let's have them weigh in. And then it's like,
I can't believe the parents were there.
Man. Yeah,
have we seen that before? The loser's parents?
Probably.
I don't remember
especially
the
if
loser,
they're gonna be the next lead.
The losing... Yeah, if they're the lead, but... man. That's a tough situation for Clayton, too. The parents of the people that he heartbroke are there.
I think he did an okay job apologizing. He apologized to the parents for a little bit and then continued the sentence and turned towards her and started talking to her. Because you don't want to have to like go back and forth with the parents.
That's a lose-lose. You don't want to go back and forth with Tony.
I'm not trying to get into a fight with Tony right now. As big as I am, it's not happening here. Clayton also mentioned, you know, he was following his heart.
when he was kind of a bull in a china shop throughout this situation. The following your heart thing, I think that's another thing that has just net negative outcomes. If you follow your heart,
following
if you're
your heart,
lead,
yeah.
I mean, that's an old like fairy tale trope.
When you're following your heart,
whatever,
you're not thinking rationally.
No, you're not. It
you're
just creates bad outcomes.
Yeah.
Every lead who's followed their heart says that after they broke up with their final choice or something and went back to a different contestant on the show, like Jason Mesnick or whoever. Name any.
Mm-hmm. I have a quote from Clayton here. "I'm incredibly sorry for my actions on the show and how I handled things. I really wasn't trying to hurt anyone. It does pain me to see this pain. I should have taken a step back and checked in with you and asked more questions." He's talking to Rachel here. "Without making assumptions, and I couldn't have been more wrong." So this was an interesting thought for me. Do you think his biggest, what's the really the only thing that he did wrong out, you know, was telling them specifically that he loves them and giving each of them the comfort to think they were the one? Because I feel like all of them felt like they were the one that was going to win. Because the lead, almost every season, even before Ben's season, would say, "I'm falling in love with you."
Yeah.
And that's really similar to "I love you." Was it the fact that he said, "I love you," and displayed it in such huge ways when he was leaving the fantasy suites, especially for Gabby and Rachel? He yelled, "I love you," said it from the, couldn't contain himself to them. Was that his biggest blunder of the whole season?
No. Okay. I still think it's asking them to come back, because play this out. If he at that rose ceremony said what he said and then goes, "But I'm still in love with Susie and I can't be with either of you," it would be devastating for them. They would be heartbroken. But I think they would have some amount of respect for him for at least being coming
honest.
Clean and like being honest about it. And, you know, somebody's got to win. And it in that scenario, it would just would have been not you two. But the fact that he brought them back.
Crazy.
Only to do the same thing again 2 days later. That's lunacy. That's lunacy. I don't know how his brain got to some of these points where he thought this was a good idea, no matter what amount of convincing.
Yeah.
That I think that's the dumbest thing that dumbest anyone thing, has ever done on this show. I mean, it's crazy.
They met the family.
Man, just
crazy.
Back in Iceland, it's time for Clayton to get Susie back.
Jesse calls it the biggest Hail Mary in the history of the show.
I mean, it's basically what Clayton did or Colton did with Cassie. This is a frequent occurrence. Trying to get somebody back who left. The last time they talked, Susie was unwilling to meet his family or commit to him in any way.
She had to think about it, though. It was left open. It was left open at that moment.
It was left open that they could continue in some form or fashion. Do you think it was left open for the next time we see each other, I should propose? Did you think that was
I didn't think that at all.
That was
no.
a good
That wasn't the scenario. No.
It was not the scenario.
That was not what Susie wanted. It was, "I'm really mad at you.
But I get where you're coming from.
I get where you're coming from. I want to think about it to see if I want to even entertain a relationship with you.
Yep.
If I would like to even try this, not get married."
No, we're not. There's just no scenario where Susie would accept a proposal here.
No.
None.
So why did he have that ring then?
I don't know what's going through his head.
So why did he have that ring then, Rim?
I don't know, because I just find it hard to believe he has the independent thought that Susie will accept a proposal from me today.
Sometimes you got to have a backbone and stand up to producers, Rim.
I find it hard to believe that this was his idea and he thought it would work. But I just can't believe that he thought this was...
He had the ring with him and like playing around with it in his pocket and stuff.
Clayton wrote a letter earlier. Susie reads it. He arrives at some Game of Thrones type grass roof building.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Susie arrives looking like Sansa Stark with the fur, the white fur, shoulder thing. And Clayton gives a speech inside. Anything stand out to you about the speech?
No, not really.
It's kind of
standard.
More of the same. Just wants a chance. One
fully
more day.
Committed to showing her he loves her.
Pulls out the ring box. He's like, "They gave me this. I'm not going to propose. Even I know that's not going to happen.
Even I know that's crazy."
And then Susie says she believes everything. Big praise for Clayton. Susie put Clayton over Big here. What did you make of this?
She thanks him for the honesty, but, big but, I'm not there yet at all. Remember, we are still fighting. Do you remember that, Clayton? I am not sure if I want to continue this relationship. I'm going to be leaving. This is a little Bachelor in Paradise. I'm leaving Iceland alone. A little Bachelor in Paradise talk.
I'm leaving the island.
I'm going to leave this island alone. Okay?
She doesn't have the same kind of love for him that he has for her.
At this moment, though, she leaves the door open.
Well, I just wanted to say that because I don't think she ever has. I think Clayton is always like Susie more than Susie likes Clayton from the beginning.
Yep. And she leaves. Hops in the Tahoe. I'm out. I'm out.
He asked, you know, is there a crack in the door? She,
a little crack? It's a possibility?
You said she left the door open. She didn't leave the door open. Because he goes, is there any possibility? And she goes, it's over. I feel like it's over. Which is a weird thing to
that
say.
That was weird, yeah.
After praising his character and saying you believe him and kind of saying you love him, why would it be over forever? I feel like you could just, you know, give it another shot. If you
outside
wanted to, like,
of this?
Why would you rule out the possibility of future dates unless you had other plans? Sorry. It's a strange thing. It's strange to shut it out like that after that speech.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you.
Anything else here, AB?
No. She leaves him standing there in the rain, ruining his suit, getting all wet. He's in the mud. Mm-hmm. Never has a bachelor ended worse.
There's no doubt about that.
In a worse scenario.
What's your assessment of Jesse teasing things? I thought this was an A+.
I thought he did
delivery.
Fantastic. This is why you pay him the big bucks. He knows what he's doing. Teasers, segues, everything.
Is Clayton alone? No, he implied Clayton was alone. And he goes, or is he? Which I didn't see coming.
I didn't see that coming, Jesse. He kept me coming back after breaks, every break. I came back wanting what he teased me.
Yes, I know what you mean. Clayton in studio. He says, what now, man? Who are you with? What's going on?
What the fuck, Clayton?
5 years of growth packed into 2 months, which is a good... Growth is one way to phrase it. I think there's a little growth in there. It was 5 years of a lot of shit packed into 2 months. And then Clayton got in on the teasing a little bit. He says, someone reached out to him after he got home.
No.
I thought, Serene? Susie? Well, the woman you're speaking of, she's here tonight. Come on out. Then they show two legs walking.
Yeah, that was weird to me.
White legs.
White legs,
so
of course.
It had to be Susie. Yeah, that was a spoiler alert.
Who else would it be?
Sorry.
Well, we've seen you've been undressed by two of the women that it could
it's
possibly
not Rachel
be.
Or Gabby.
So it's not Rachel and Gabby. They're sitting up there now with their families. They hate your guts. They've made that apparent.
Yeah, they made it very clear.
It's obviously Susie.
Tough scene for Susie coming out.
Yeah.
A subdued reaction, and she
very
gives a little short, a Jordan hug. Like, well, I didn't get the gig. Here
I am.
It
wasn't the Jordan hug. It was the guy playing quarters with Jordan.
Oh,
mimicking
yeah,
the Jordan hug. That's what it was. In the documentary.
Nobody thought this would happen.
Bet you didn't think I'd be Jordan in quarters. Yep. That's what that shrug was.
She says they're happy. That's her boyfriend.
Wow.
Clayton got instant image rehabilitation, almost. Because imagine if she wasn't
you
with him.
You can't boo Susie.
Not really, no.
She said she took some steps back. Didn't know what capacity she wanted Clayton in her life when she left. But she loved him as a person. And now I can confidently say I'm in love. They're doing cutesy stuff. Listen, I wasn't here for the cutesy stuff. That it was too quick. Too quick for that. I didn't really... I'm not trying to see you two happy yet. In due time, I will. I'm be rooting for you. But not
in
yet.
In due time, I'll forget. I don't care.
I'll forget
in due time,
and I'll be
I
rooting for
care.
You. Because I just like people on the show to make it. Makes me feel better. So in due time, but right now... Right after this, what I just saw, I'm not interested.
A little, they're like,
I'm not interested.
They're teasing some exciting things. It sounded like they're going to start a podcast or something.
No, I'm not.
It's like,
you know,
we got some big things on the horizon.
I don't give a shit that you're moving in, Clayton. Not yet. Give me a month or two to digest everything, and then I'll be happy for you.
It was cute when, listen, Clayton entered that room, public enemy number one.
Absolutely.
No one liked him. No one was on his side for anything. Well, there's some, well, we can discuss about that. But my point is, he left to applause because of Susie by his side and kind of rehabbing
of
his image. He offers her the final rose and everybody claps.
Not only
that's an amazing trick.
It is amazing, but I think part of it was, I think the punishment, like his punishment fit the crime. I feel like he got the amount of punishment he deserved. He had to come out here. He got ripped.
He took it.
By
he took some lashings. Yeah.
The families were there. He had to apologize to them. He had to watch it all with everybody. I feel like that was a reasonable penalty for him for what he did. Like he paid his, it's like someone getting out of jail. It's like you did your time for
your
crime.
To society.
Your debt is done. Now I am okay with you. Move on with your life.
I thought
it was reasonable.
I agree. However, his debt is never paid to millions of people forever will always hold a negative opinion of him no matter what he does the rest of his life.
Yeah, but I don't think there's going to be like, I don't go away hating his guts.
No, you don't. I'm
do you
saying
think
millions
a lot
of people
still
do. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's how it works.
I mean, I don't know.
Juan Pablo could have a charity for all I know, but all we know
sure
is what he did.
Yeah, that's true. He's on the list of most hated bachelors with, a couple. Peter, Juan Pablo, Ari.
What do you think about the next Bachelorette announcement, Gabby and Rachel?
I love it.
Dual season.
Joe Millionaire.
It's Joe Millionaire.
ABC version. They stole it directly from Joe Millionaire. I expect it to be just a better version. This is two people the whole season. People might be falling for both people. You never know. A lot of twists and turns can come from this. I like this. Something different.
It is something different. I think Gabby's going to be great. If you were to ask me who I would have wanted as my number one slot after these episodes, I probably would have said Gabby.
They seem to have a good friendship, these two, though, also. Which, as we've seen with Kurt and Steven on Joe Millionaire, is a big-time positive, the two being friends.
Anything else about the episode before we get to the mailbag?
I thought it was good TV. Gripping TV for 3 hours.
Mailbag, you asked about the next Bachelorette, AB. We got a couple of those. 613 area code. I think Gabby would make a great Bachelorette. She is funny and beautiful, open to love, and most importantly, she is genuine and true and her true self on camera. I feel like Susie the whole time was playing the, quote, bachelorette role, and as you mentioned, the producers have been positioning her for bachelorette this whole time. Conspiracy corner, I actually think her whole breakup with Clayton was orchestrated for her to be the bachelorette. Clayton seemed to pick up on that, which is why he acted so cold toward her and said, I don't believe in anything anymore. Thank you, 613.
So where do you sit on that whole Susie? Like, she's not the bachelorette now. Do you think it changed? Did it change your opinion?
I kind of crossed the streams on. We discussed this on our other podcast, and I discussed the possibility that everything about that breakup makes way more sense if you believe that Susie was told she was in the hunt for Bachelorette, if that's what Clayton thought, if that's why he was upset. I still think that's the likeliest scenario.
Is that she thought she was going to be the Bachelorette, and then something changed along the way?
I think she thought she was going to be the Bachelorette, and then...
I mean, that could be true, and then they still...
They changed because they saw what happened at the rose ceremony, and then we go, well, now we got a two... We can get a two-for-one with... Everyone is going to have so much sympathy for Rachel and Gabby that why don't we do them two? Things changed...
Yeah, for sure.
A couple days later. So I still believe that to be the conspiracy theory, I guess. Faith from South Dakota, none of the above. The ratings were so low the last few seasons, and they will keep having viewers drop off if the cycle of having a lead named from the previous season continues. They either need to name a celebrity or name the first American bisexual bachelorette as they just did in Australia. We need something that would create some buzz. Double bachelorettes, I think, might do that, Faye. Thank you. Sam, we're in the other portion of the mailbag now. Sam says, one thing I've really enjoyed this season was the buildup of Rim and AB not watching the previews. Like when y'all predicted that it was just going to be another boring, typical Fantasy Suites episode because you didn't know what was coming yet. The anticipation was killing me, thinking how the listeners knew it was going to be a train wreck and you guys had no idea what was coming. Then when Rim finally decided to watch the preview after overnight dates, he interpreted it completely wrong. I did. I ended up yelling and laughing at my radio while driving at how horrible this prediction was. Thanks for the entertainment, whether it be a bit or unintentional.
Where do you sit on It was not a bit. Where do you sit on?
Yeah, no, I misread it, no doubt. The rose ceremony for Mel, I thought, wow, they're going to do the winner right there. Where do I sit on what?
Where do you sit on watching future seasons of coming up next week? Are you going to stick with what this season, or are you going to start watching them again?
No, I'm going to stick with what I did this season.
You liked not knowing anything, any spoilers, week to week from those coming up next week. Okay, me too.
I did it this season because I knew something big was coming, and there was all that talk about we know who the final two are. Because they showed that rose ceremony in the previews before the season aired. So I avoided everything.
Yeah, yep. I remember, that people were not happy about that.
Katrina from Dallas. I just wanted to share my support of the anti-macaroons talk. Mm. Those cookies are so overpriced and not good. Plus, they are a nightmare to make. I would be so pissed if I had been presented with that as a dessert and likely would have dumped my day also. Thank you, Katrina.
Macaroons are good. They're not.
Not according to Katrina.
They're not. You hand me a plate of chocolate chip cookies, fresh baked, or a plate of expensive macaroons, no cost involved. I'm taking the plate of macaroons. They're good, delicious. They're just not worth. No cookie is worth $3. Okay, not one the size of an Oreo. It's just not that size. Shouldn't cost $3. It's something I can pop in my mouth.
No.
In one,
that
zero
amount of
bite.
Gold is
one
$3.
Bite. Yeah. It can't be that cost. Now, you give me a plate of free macaroons, I'm going ham. Okay.
A couple general reaction to recent episodes.
Hannah from South. Look at a macaroon tower here. That's $740. Okay.
There's something deeper going on there. There's
740. Here's another one for 500. Now, you give me a free tower of macaroons, I'll take it. But I'm not spending 740, okay?
Hannah from South Carolina. Unpopular opinion, I was completely fine with the way Clayton handled it. I thought it was unfair of Susie and unreasonable of Susie to have that expectation of him. I agree that in the real world, we would all feel the same way, but she knows the show. She knows it isn't the real world. If this was even an issue to her, it should have been a conversation they had sometime in the beginning of one of their dates when they're getting deeper about things. Clearly, they both have faith that we didn't see addressed on camera, so they talked about it. She could have brought it up then. She blindsided him. He was very upset and he reacted. When she came back outside to continue the conversation, she reiterated that it was something she couldn't get past, so Clayton shut down. Why continue this conversation if you're telling him over and over that you won't compromise on this? Everyone on the internet is attacking Clayton, calling him a manipulator, a narcissist, a gaslighter. I think that's completely unreasonable. Justice for Clayton. Thanks, Hannah. Steve from Naperville. When my bachelor journey began years ago, I felt like this franchise was a harmless and perhaps silly venture. Sometimes it was even successful, perhaps despite itself. I felt like anyone involved pretty much knew what they were getting into and how things were statistically almost bound to end. But after the past few seasons and now watching this debacle, I see this frivolous show has devolved into something that comes far too close to malicious. One can only presume that the producers put Susie last on overnight dates, knowing full well that she had a strong opinion regarding intimacy with others, and knowing that Clayton would most likely, quote, explore other relationships on those first two overnights. And then for all of them, including Clayton, to urge these two women to stay there after divulging his indiscretions, only to break up with them both again on TV, it's nothing short of diabolical. On another note, I'm not a huge fan of Chris Harrison, and I thought Jesse Palmer was doing a fine job, but his nudge, nudge, wink, wink, wait until you see this smarminess during the live evenings was revolting and disrespectful to the people that were being hurt by this, while the fans cheered in the bleachers. The entire event too closely resembled throwing a victim in the ring with the Lions for the entertainment of those in the Coliseum. I'm not sure how low these producers and participants can go, but I'm fast reaching my personal limit. Thank you, Steve. I related to that first paragraph quite a bit when, you know, this show is not what it was when I started watching it. It's wholly different now in terms of,
what they're going for, what kind of reactions they want. It's not quite as silly and harmless as it, you know, the Ben Higgins season was not quite so malicious.
I don't know. I just feel like that's just a stretch for me. Like, I don't... Everyone knows what they're signing up for. I just don't... It's a TV dating show. I don't think the manipulation from the producers, although it is... It's a lot, and they've done more and more as the seasons go.
I think they've gotten more flagrant. I think they've gotten more flagrant.
They've gotten
recently.
More and more intentional with some of the stuff they're doing. I still find it a silly show that makes me laugh, and I don't know. I think that's just a little bit too far for me.
Rachel, one of our wonderful mods for our Facebook group, reported some nuggets from Mondays after the final rose.
Oh, because she was there. And then,
she was there.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it and then describe some photos she sent of the food.
Oh.
They're not letting you take pictures inside. So she took pictures of the food, which is actually the thing I wanted to know most. Just got back from Monday night's finale episode taping. Sadly, I don't get to go Tuesday for the conclusion. It was awesome, though. Well, my seat was awesome and the crowd was awesome. The craft services table was a C-. They gave us a box lunch with a choice of roast beef, ham, or roasted veggie sandwich, chips, a lemon cookie, an orange, and a soda. We could have as much soda and water as we wanted, but it was underwhelming. The cool thing was eating on a sound stage. Stage 9, which is the one they use for hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Incredible.
Call time 12:45, then a rapid COVID test, about a mile walk into the Warner Brothers lot, which is where they shot Animaniacs.
You say a mile? Lunch,
yeah, that's a
God
long walk.
Damn.
Lunch, then walk into the studio at 3:30 p.m. I was one of the last people to sit down and got an amazing seat behind Jesse, so I was on camera a lot of the time while he was speaking to the Bachelor Nation alumni. Pauly was there and seems to be super tight with the rest of the production staff. Why Pauly is barely on the show anymore is beyond me. He's still there.
Pauly, yeah. Okay.
Biggest takeaways, the studio is a lot smaller than it looks on TV. Jesse is super chill and easygoing. He reads every word off a teleprompter directly in the camera. Production is very accommodating and helped us, the audience, at every turn. There's a dedicated audience hype man named Ruben who plays music during commercial breaks and makes great jokes.
Oh, DJ. Got a DJ situation.
Yeah, it's like the
live
show,
DJ. Basically. Yeah,
I was bummed I didn't get to see Clayton or any of the women tonight, Monday. But I guess that keeps some of the mystery alive. That's good stuff, Rachel. The mile walk is—they can't get you.
Describe
they don't have
the
one of those big
of the food. Does it look Fry Fest-y?
Fire Fest? No, better than Fire Fest, no doubt.
Better than that?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I see a box here with Cheetos.
Now, keep in mind, Rim and AB thought those Firefest pictures didn't look all that bad. Just a reminder of our opinion.
Fine.
So,
fine.
Was it
Depends
good?
On if I'm hungry when I'm looking at the pictures. Yeah, I didn't mind that.
So these pictures
I didn't
look...
come here for the food. Cheetos, a shot of water in the smallest, you know, those tiny water bottles, baby
water
bottles.
Oh, I hate those tiny water bottles.
Yeah. Talk about wasted plastic. I mean, go on.
So no alcohol is what it sounds.
No, you can't have drunk people in the audience,
Why?
AB, and it's not a cocktail party.
Why not? That'd be
I
one of the first
that,
things
I'd
change.
It seems like you shouldn't.
That's what I'd have everyone with wine glasses.
A can of Sprite. The sandwich she described, which is all wrapped up. White chocolate lemon cookie, which is something I've never heard. Hey,
white chocolate lemon? Hey.
Yeah.
That's changing the cookie game.
That looks like a legit cookie, and the chips were... Deep River Snacks, salt and vinegar, kettle cooked, which is good. And an orange. It's a small orange. Not bad. Listen.
Tangerine?
I expected worse.
Little clementine? Was it a clementine? Little
it's
clementine?
It's not a clementine. It's bigger than
bigger
a clementine.
Bigger than clementine? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I would have been pleased with that meal.
So you're there.
But you're there for 8 hours.
You're
maybe
there from
not.
12 to 8? Is that what you said?
There was no ending time, but call time was 12:45. I don't know what call time means.
I think that's just when you have to show up if you want to be there.
That makes sense.
That's a long day. I didn't anticipate that long of a day.
Thank you very much, Rachel. This was some
That's good info. The food and drink is especially what I was curious about. She had a reaction. She shared it on the Facebook. A picture of, the,
oh, really?
Of one of her. She's like, I'm trying to find it. So she had her like her. It was a shocked hand over her mouth face. I think.
Oh,
like in the corner. She was in the corner. You know, when
the
they
screen?
Showed the screens, she was on That's that funny. Once. Yeah,
that's funny. A couple of people had some Rose League references in the mailbag. 630 area code. I'm not telling you my name out of shame, but I feel you should know. I cheated in the Rose League. I looked up who was moving on to the next week so I could choose people who weren't going home. But even though I looked up spoilers, I still didn't crack the top 100. I think at one point you mentioned that Serene scored more points than Susie during hometowns. The Rose League is great, and I will not be looking up spoilers next time because it doesn't even help that much. Thank you, 630.
Wow.
631 area code says, FYI, they showed the scene with the two girls crying and Clayton telling them that he's been intimate with them both on night one. You guys have been in the dark, but your listeners have not. Hashtag cheaters. Speaking of the Rose League, 122 people picked Gabby for this week's episode, including yours truly. Random winner for this week of the sticker. Team Swidmark. Whoa.
Team Swidmark.
Team Swidmark. Yuck. Yeah. Send us a message, Swidmark.
That's actually disgusting, Rim.
and we'll get you a sticker. Thank you for playing. The top 10 final season standings. Fishmaster 3000, Katie Rose, Scrumptious Scara, Maratuni, Colin underscore M, Kelsey Teef, Lily Bug, and number two, Pitmaster 420, which means...
Madison P.
Madison P won. 1,488 points. Pitmaster 420 had 1,468. So a 20-point victory.
You could pick Susie this week, couldn't you? Did she pick Susie? Can you click her and check if she picked Susie? If she picked Susie...
What would that mean to you?
Well, who did you pick?
I picked Gabby, but I also just... No, you couldn't pick Susie this week. I don't think.
I thought you could. I thought I saw something about being able to pick Susie. I thought
that might have changed.
I think they sent out a push notification that Susie was available.
Okay, well, I picked Gabby when there was only two available.
Yeah, I guess if I was going for the win, and I get a push notification that's like, Susie's available, even if I'm not cheating, I'm like, well, they must know some shit. Let me switch mine to Susie. So I don't know what I'd think.
There was like 700 entrants this week, and only 122 picked Gabby. So probably the most people pick Susie based on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Madison P., congratulations.
Congratulations.
I hope you can sleep at night. Send us your info. Send us a message on Instagram or maybe the mailbag and we'll get you a t-shirt. Thanks everyone for playing the Rose League.
It was fun.
It was a fun week-to-week thing when AB participated.
Fun.
It was fun.
I had fun. I had fun calling people cheaters.
That's the best part of it for me, honestly, the cheater bit. I love that.
I love it. I love it. Can't get enough of it.
Do you have a headline of the week?
No.
Okay, I do.
Okay.
You don't need one.
Good. Don't have one.
Did you hear about when this dual season of The Bachelorette is starting?
When? I didn't hear. Oh, next week?
Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
If it's before May, don't even tell me.
So normally they start at mid-May, late May, in non-pandemic seasons.
Sure.
Okay. The next season of The Bachelorette begins July 11th.
July?
July 11th.
When's Paradise? Are they just going back-to-back with Paradise then?
They listen.
July, then Paradise.
Think about that.
Bachelorette, then Paradise.
That is 2 months later than normal.
That's 4 months from now. What a time to be alive.
Paradise is typically back-to-back with Bachelorette normally, and they start in mid-May, and then they go June, July, and then end of July, and then August is when Paradise starts. So now we're entering a situation where Paradise, unless they run it concurrently, might premiere when there's snow on the ground.
I'm okay with that.
I'm just putting in perspective what's happening here.
This is
July
11th news.
Is what he says.
Wow.
July 11th. Anything else, AB?
Yeah, I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question of the week, but I'd like to read the answers on the Patreon, Rim, okay? A short segment. Short segment.
Okay, what's the question?
Do you think you can love two people?
Oh, wow, AB.
We'll read the answers on our $4 a month, a very reasonable priced Patreon. Next week.
That's a formal announcement we should make. We still podcast every week. If new listeners
don't know that,
that's
why I wanted to bring this
up,
and that's why I wanted to do a tie-in. It's called... That's just...
No, I'm with you. It's great.
Okay. The question for this week's Rose Bag... Is that what it's called? What do we call this thing?
We called it the Rose Bag for a while. It's just the mailbag now.
Mailbag. Okay. Do you think you can fall in love with two? And you know my opinion. If it's two, it's as many as possible. So do you think you can fall in love with multiple
more
people...
More than one.
...at the same time? Considering... Because I know there's... there's relationships out there where you're married to multiple people. I think it's possible in that sense, but for someone that's looking for a single partner,
that's a pretty significant minority of marriages. By the way.
That's what I'm saying. That's but I do think that's possible. I'm not talking about that. And I don't want answers saying, you're looking for one partner. Can you fall in love with two people at the same time? Actual love, not just be falling in love. I want to see the answers. Because I don't know. I go back.
Good question.
And we're going to read it on our Patreon.
773-234-7794. It's a casual vibe over there.
Very
on
casual.
The Patreon. We discuss topical events. We do some kind of jokey power rankings and snake drafts. We also recap other reality shows, including Survivor, which is just getting started for this season.
And we're just wrapping up Joe Millionaire.
We're wrapping up Joe Millionaire. Excited to talk about that finale. So yeah, there's potentially some overlapping interests. Give it a shot if you want. You can cancel if you don't want. No big deal. It's not personal. It's not personal. Business is business.
But that needs to be mentioned because we will be gone from this
feed.
We're
going to be gone for a while.
For 4 months, okay? So if you want to hear us, you need to find us there.
Also want to mention, that's true. July 11th.
We're going to be gone for a while on this feed.
July 11th. You could go to the moon and back.
If you want Rim and AB, you got
to
find
us. There's one way to get it.
There's only one way you can get us.
I want to mention there's a Batch Madness bracket going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that needs to be
we didn't talk about last week because I hadn't started it. There's voting, round-by-round voting, taking place on Twitter and Instagram, but mostly Instagram because Twitter's a pain in the ass and a horrible user experience for long threads in particular. But either way works. It's the most memorable moments in Bachelor history. We seeded 64 moments. All the videos are available. And there's four regions, engagements, breakups, comedy
like
regions,
history.
Comedy region, and shocking/dramatic.
It's a huge history. It's a course. A course you can take of the history of the Bachelor.
Well, the moments are historical, and I'll tell you what, we're seeing a lot of recency bias in some of the voting. I'll put it that way. Anyway. All right. Anything else, AB?
No, I don't think so. Another good season.
Thanks for listening.
Another good season, period. Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, there was one more thing. One more thing. We got an email from Helga regarding the hot springs. We mentioned.
That's right. Yes.
Being cold. Well, apparently, she's from Iceland. She says the water in a lot of places is warm because of the hot
springs.
Comes
from the ground.
So it's probably warm-ass water, which sounds awesome. And I'm very interested in going to Iceland now.
Oh, yeah. Iceland's crazy. It's like an alien
natural
world.
Natural hot tub. But thanks for the comment, Helga, for the email.
Yes, thank you, Helga. I've seen this. They have this huge, the biggest public pool you can imagine, but it's just just water chilling. That's just hot water. From the earth.
Crazy.
That you're outside in. Thanks for listening. Have a heavenly day.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.